Book of Acts, the 13th chapter. Book of Acts, 13th chapter.
Amen.
I'm going to start reading at the 42nd verse. Acts 13, 42. And when the Jews were going out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout, honorable women and chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading. Again, Lord, we would ask, Father, that you would just come upon the scene, see the emptiness of the messenger. Lord, that you would feel and you would speak. Lord, that we might be able to hear with a spiritual ear. We ask you, Father, to touch each one of us in the very way, Lord, that we need here this morning. And God, that this word might go forth and accomplish what you have for it. We ask you to take it, Lord, and use it. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Paul and Barnabas. Wow. Did you ever really think about Paul and Barnabas as to how, what a, I don't know, joyous thing it would have been for them to go to brand new places that had never heard the gospel and be able to go to different cities and just walk in and present something brand new. Here, we've heard it all of our lives, and the ones that have accepted Jesus Christ welcome you. But the general population would like to throw you out. We'd like to get rid of Paul and Barnabas. Here, as they were on their journey, they stopped here at Antioch. And as they went in, the first thing they did, they went into the temple, to the synagogue, and they went in to listen to the word of God. Well, the chief priest and the elder, or whoever they were in the synagogue, they presented the gospel that they didn't know it wrong. They didn't present the gospel. They presented the word of God as of Moses. The Old Testament, they brought forth, they've spoken that. And the word, as we go back into the first part of that 13th chapter, if I can find it here. Barnabas as they went into this synagogue. After, in the 15th verse of the 13th chapter, it says, after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, ye men and brethren, ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. As they were sitting within this congregation, and the chief priest had finished their sermon of the Old Testament, of the law, as they normally did, but they recognized these two peoples, Paul and Barnabas, sitting in the congregation. They recognized them as being leaders, evangelists, or whatever you want to call them, as they, but the word had preceded them, and they knew exactly who they were. Well, you would think that possibly they would resent them sitting in their congregation, but they did not. They accepted Paul and Barnabas as to who they were because so many people recognized who they were. So they proceeded and they asked him, if you have anything to say to this congregation, if you have anything to say to these people that would exhort them, that would lift them up, then say on. Ooh-wee. That opened the door. Did that open the door? Yes, Paul was just waiting for something like this to happen. And when they said that, he sure did. And he let them have it. He really turned loose on them. In the rest of that 13th chapter back there, you'll read on. It says, Paul stood up and he beckoned with his hand. Yeah, you men of Israel. And ye that fear God, give audience. Hear what he's got to say. Yes, Paul was saying, the God of this people of Israel chose our fathers. He laid the groundwork. The God that he was talking about was the God of the fathers, the ones that the priests were talking about as well. Yes, he was saying, he reminded them that this was the God. And he said, he's the very one that brought you through the wilderness, brought you out of the land of Canaan, destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan. He is the same one that when you needed him, he gave you judges. Yes, he reminding them of them of all these things. He said he gave you judges and you wanted a king. Remember? Yes. He said you wanted a king, so he gave you the king. He taught. Then they desired, they had one special person that they had, a David, the son of Jesse, remember, as David came along, and he was the man, and he said he was after his own heart, yes, that he was after God's own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. David. They gave him David. He's reminding these people now of things that they knew. They knew well. They knew this story probably as well as anybody, but he was just reminding, bringing them up to the present. And he said, David is after his own heart. And he said, of this man's seed hath God, according to the promise, raised up unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. Now he's getting down to the nitty-gritty. He's saying this man David that was after his own heart and had made such an impact upon the whole world that now he's saying he has a seed come down from David, which is Jesus. John preached. He went ahead and he said, John preached and baptized and told you about this Jesus. He said he was not this Jesus, but he was baptizing unto repentance that this man was coming, Jesus Christ, that he was not even worthy to lose his shoes. He wasn't worthy to unlatch his shoes. John the Baptist. He went ahead a little bit farther, and he said, the rulers in Jerusalem, because they knew not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. Yes, they knew the prophets, they knew the all this, and they said, you read about it every Sabbath. But because you're unbelieving. And though they found no cause of death in him, in Jesus, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. Yes, they could not find one thing wrong with Jesus Christ, but yet they insisted, went to Pilate, that he be slain. That Jesus Christ be killed. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in the sepulchre. They went ahead and crucified Jesus on the cross. And then they took him down and they put him in the tomb, in the sepulchre. But what happened? But God raised him from the dead. Praise the Lord. Yes. He raised him from the dead. Now he's telling these people. See, he's brought them all the way from their beginning, from their first belief, all the way up now to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's telling them. Prove it. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto this people. He was seen. That was the proof that he needed. And we declare unto you, glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the Father, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, and he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the Psalm. Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. You see, Paul, when they opened the door and allowed him to stand up and speak, he let them have it. He told them exactly what had happened down through the ages and how they had the word. They knew the word, but they did not accept the word when it came to him. But what did they do? They tried to destroy the one who could give them everything they ever expected. Yes. So, when Paul was in Antioch and he was standing up preaching this message to this congregation, he was telling them that of the goodness of Jesus Christ and his salvation that he brings. And so many of them believed that he was speaking exactly the truth. Jews and Gentiles alike, both. And as they left the synagogue, people that day, when they left out of there, they started down the road, and they met up with Paul and Barnabas, and they persuaded them to stay longer, to preach more. We need more Some of them, they liked what they heard. They received the word of God within their heart, and they liked it. They said, stay a little longer, stay the next week, the next Sabbath, come back and continue. Well, what did they do? You opened the door again for Paul. You opened, and sure enough, there they were. The next Sunday, they were in that, and they were beginning to preach, but almost the whole city turned out. Wow. Now, that, as I said earlier, wouldn't it be something to be able to preach and teach the Word of God to someone who had never heard it? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could just go into a place that was completely brand new, that had never heard of Jesus Christ, but had heard of a Messiah to come? They knew that there was something better. They knew that. There's something better to this life than what we see. Yeah. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be able to go in there and present to them just exactly what they were looking for? Can you imagine what a revival would take place? How that the place would be packed. It would be just jammed full. Would you like to do that? Huh? Would you like to be in that? Would you like to be in that service? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Folks, there is people living with probably, if I was to holler a little louder, within the sound of my voice around you, who has never heard of the word of Jesus Christ. They have not. They haven't heard it. They don't hear it at home. And what they see on their television or on their newscast certainly lacks a long ways of being the gospel of Jesus Christ. They haven't heard it. But how? How do are we able to get to these people to make them realize that the very thing they're looking for is so available so easily? It's right here in front of them. All they have to do is just take it, free, no charge. But they refuse. They're like some of those Jews. They turned them off. Well, what happened? Well, the whole city came out. Wow, that was a meeting and a half. And probably, have y'all ever been into a meeting or a series of meetings where the houses were packed, every seat was taken, they had to put out chairs in the aisles, and they'd sit people anywhere they could, even put them in the choir loft, they put them everywhere they could, and when that was full, there was probably some in the back standing and looking. Have you ever been one of those? You have? Or have not? Yeah. Yes, I'm no. Yes, I've been there. And believe me, it is a wonderful thing. That's exactly what they had. They had a house full. They were packed tight. Yeah. And some of them were praising God and receiving the Spirit and really being on top, and the promise of God was being fulfilled right there in their sight within them. But what happened? There were some of them that said, baloney. Don't believe it. Jealousy crept in because they wasn't able to fill their pews. I looked around here. Jealousy. Down the road a ways, there's a church this morning that's packed. There's a church down there that's packed, and they're praising God. They're having a good time. Jealousy can set in within a congregation like ours. We are jealous because they are getting the blessing. They are getting their pack down there, and we're very few, aren't we? pews are more empty than filled. We could become very jealous, and we could be very blasphemous. We could start bad-mouthing those churches. We can start talking about all this, that, and the other thing. And I've heard it. I've heard it in Baptist churches, how they're bad-mouthing a church someplace because they're full. Oh, they do this, oh, they do that, they just start this, and you know, yeah, this, you don't want that, and it's one thing after another. Praise God that church is full. I don't know what goes on there, but I say more power to them. Yes. And you should better say more power to them, because souls will be saved. Children will be turned around and set on the right road. Those that are headed for destruction will be turned around. Yes. Big churches, oh, they're uptown. Yes, indeedy. Praise God for them. We as little peoples here, yes, we have our way, and I love it. But we must pray for them. They didn't. They condemned them. They knocked them. They done everything they could. They blasphemed against them this to a point that they run out of town. Yes. Paul and Barnabas did. We don't want to hear it. Well, you look around at some of the things that are going on today in the government that we have, or the legal system, or all this, as I said a while ago. You see some of the things that are going on, the good things that are in the institutions, in the schools, the prayers, the banners, all those things that represents the Almighty. We don't want you. Get out of here. Tear them down. Get rid of them. No. Bad enough. The blessings of Jesus Christ. They did it. Folks, it's so easy to judge. It's so easy to condemn. It's so easy to condemn those that are successful in the Word of God. It would be so easy for we as a small church to be jealous of our neighbors that are prospering. Pray for them. Bless them. Yes. What we do here, God knows all about. He knows why we're here. He knows why our pews are empty. He knows why I'm here. He knows why you're here. And we all have a purpose. Yes. Whatever it is. You know that one of the my old saying, listen to this. Blessed is the man or the person who knows what God wants you to do and does it. Yes. Not what somebody else is doing down the road here, there, or someplace else, but what God wants us, we, to do and do it. That is the secret. That is the blessing. Yes. If we would just do our part and put it all together, God will take care of the rest. Yes, you'll see things happen. I promised you, didn't I? That you're going to see things happen in this next year. You will, if you'll be obedient and do what God wants us to do. From the preacher to the sweeper. Every one of us. Doesn't make any difference. If we do our part, do it well, you will see things happen. Believe me. Father, we thank you and we praise you. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us just to dwell upon your word. knowing, Lord, that you are in control. If we, oh Lord, would just obey what you would have for us individually. Lord, if we would just obey, that we'll see your work. And we'll see things happen, Lord, that will astonish us. We'll see things happen, Father, that we could not believe could happen if we but just trust and pray. Make us, Lord, to accept what you have for us. Make us, O Lord, to just depend upon you. And Lord, forget about self. Forget about our own little weaknesses and our own little whims and our own little aches and pains and all this thing that we're so set on concentrating upon ourselves. Lord, that we just can't do your work because we're handicapped by one thing or another. Lord, if we put these things aside, we know, oh God, you will take over and you will do. We ask you, Father, look into the hearts of each and every one of us here this morning, Lord, and just show us the way to go. For Lord, we're nothing without you. And Lord, with you all things are possible. Take us, Lord, and you.